Hi, my name's Steve, and for the past 19 years, I've been part of one of the best communities on the planet, the military community. I served 4 years as a soldier when my wife Heather and I joined the Army to pay off some student loans. When I got out, I became a full-time military spouse. I transformed into Mr. Army Wife. Through all of the moves, deployments, and different opportunities and struggles I've experienced, the one thing I'll never forget are the other military spouses I've had the pleasure of meeting. They're amazing, and I want you to meet them too. On today's episode, I'll introduce you to Carly, Jenny, and Heather, three Army spouses I get to call my friends. It's the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast, and it all starts right now. Hey everybody, it's Mr. Army Wife. My name's Steve, and you're listening to the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast. Tonight on the podcast, I've got some great guests for you guys. They are wonderful friends of mine. I can't wait for you guys to meet them and learn all about their lives. I'm going to introduce them in the order that I met them. And first up, it is Heather Reisenberger. She is amazing. I met her in 2015 at Fort Leavenworth when she was the mayor of our community there. She was wonderful in that role and wonderful as just a friend. So Heather, hi, how are you? Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Steve. Yeah, I got to Fort Leavenworth and I was 5 months pregnant with our second child. Currently have 3 children now, all boys. Lord help me. I've been an Army wife for 9 years now. Never thought I would be an Army wife. I met my husband when he was getting out and here we are, keep going. And we're going towards the finish. So we're really excited. We're here at MacDill Air Force Base, and this is my favorite base so far.
As it should be, because that's in Tampa, which is where Heather and I met, fell in love, got married, and we'll return to one day. So can't wait to chat with you about your journey. Next up is Jenny Harper. Jenny and I met at Fort Stewart way back in 2017, I think it was, as kickball players. Wasn't it at kickball?
That's right. We were kickball teammates during Marn Week at Fort Stewart. So,
that's right.
Fun times. So, like Steve said, my name is Jenny. My husband, Justin, and I met when we were both students at Texas A&M University. He commissioned in May of 2002, and we got married just 2 weeks later. Since then, we've been stationed 9 different places, Hood a couple of times, Knox, DC, Riley, Leavenworth, Stewart, now Fort Irwin. We've got 4 kids ranging in age from 8 to 15, enjoying this crazy Army life ride.
That's great. Yeah, kickball injuries were aplenty that year, I remember. We might talk a little bit about that later, or maybe we won't, because kickball injuries, that's just kind of sad. And then last but certainly not least, she's my boss. She is a great friend. Our spouses think we probably spend more time together than we do with them right now. That's because Carly is the president of the Spouses and Community Club here at Fort Knox, and I call her Madam President. It is Madam President. Her name is Carly Goodell. Please tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
He's never going to stop calling me that. No. So, yes, I met Steve just last year. I think he told me that it was our friend anniversary, like last week. He's good at that. We got to Fort Knox about 2 years ago, and before that, we were in St. Louis, and before that, we were in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. So this is only my second post I've ever been to, believe it or not, and we have been in the Army. My husband's been in the Army since 2007, so what else am I supposed to tell you? Let me see. We just had our third child. So I have a son who is 7 and my daughter is 4. And now we have Ruthie who is just 4 months. So that's about it.
Yep. And Ruthie is adorable. She actually likes me. The other daughter, not so much. she does. She just wants
to. You're growing on her.
I am. All right. Ladies, we're just going to have a conversation about your Army lives. We have a great article to talk about on this episode. And then, of course, we have our echo words. We are on adjective E. And so we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But first, I just want to talk to you guys a little bit about your Army lives. Jenny, I want to start with you because you and I are the old grizzled veterans at this point that have been here for a while. Since 2002, so 18 years, what has been your favorite thing about being a military spouse?
My favorite thing about being a military spouse is all the wonderful people that we've met. I kind of joke that my 2 favorite duty stations were the 2 places where I saw my husband the least, because his job was so demanding. But what made those duty stations so wonderful were the friends that I made and the support systems that I had. You know, we've been very fortunate to have made friends that we now consider family. And we've been doing this long enough to recognize what a special thing that is. So for me, I think the best thing has just been the relationships that we've made and all of the wonderful people we've met along the way.
Yeah, relationships are certainly important. Heather, I think that is especially true for where we met when we met at Leavenworth, because everybody was there for the same reason when we were all in school. We kind of did everything together. You kind of agree with Jenny on that, that relationships are one of the best things that we've had?
I was in a very unique spot in Leavenworth, so I do agree. I was actually in Leavenworth in student housing for 2.5 years. So I got to see three classes go by. I found some really good connections with the class above us that I really became friends with, and then some connections with the class, Dan's class, and I really stayed kind of close to myself the last class. But overall, like exactly what Jenny said, as a military spouse, the connections and the relationships, that's probably my favorite part of being a military spouse.
Yeah. What about you, Carly? What's your favorite thing about being a military spouse?
Well, that's definitely at the top of the list. I'm kind of a social person. So I think it's interesting. I go back to like when we first came in, and it's like the different parts of your life. Like when we were at Fort Sill and we didn't have any kids, and I'd see all the moms sitting outside in their lawn chairs, and I'd be like, oh, I have dogs. Come on. I want to go down there. And I would be like, you know, you're not finding like where you totally fit in. And then you eventually meet your group of people, and those are your people. And sometimes it takes a deployment to find those people. And that's how it was for me when I first came in, because I didn't have the kids. I wasn't going to the play dates. But when Mark left for his first deployment, you found your battle buddies. And I found my first like core group of friends. And then now, of course, like as we have our kids, I've got friends with each child. It's funny how it's like how that happens. Like each kid, you gain a new best friend of whoever your kid's playing with. And it's just been really awesome. And I love this neighborhood. Fort Knox has been awesome the way the neighborhoods aren't divided. So you're just like, there's people from all sorts of like from retirees living in the neighborhood. And then we have like, it's a waterfall neighborhood. So we have all sorts. And it's just been a really cool experience, I think, here in Oak Park.
Well, so we all agree that relationships are one of our favorite things. I've told Heather all the time that no matter how hard a place is job-wise or challenging-wise, that, you know, it's the people that you meet that make them worth it. And that certainly has been true everywhere we go. But what else? What other favorite things do you like about being a military spouse that probably wouldn't have known about had you stayed in the civilian world?
So traveling overseas, definitely. I mean, our first tour to Korea, that was absolutely one of my favorite things. I mean, again, with the people, I mean, I haven't seen, I think it was 2013 to 2015, we were there, and I had not seen those people since then. And just last year we all went on a girls trip and abandoned our families and spent 5 days in Jamaica, and because we built that relationship. But I would never have met any of those women if we didn't go to Korea, and our husbands worked so much that we just spent so much time together. Dan would make jokes that he had sister wives, because he'd come home and they'd all still be in the house. We'd be playing like Bunko, and we'd be playing like Skip-Bo, and then he'd wake up and she'd be knowing the code to our apartment and be walking in, and then we would just go and take all the kids and hop on the metro and the subway and go wherever we wanted. But like Seoul was like our playground, and never have gone to Seoul without the army saying that's where you're going.
Yeah, for sure, traveling is a great one. Anybody else? Jenny, you got anything else?
No, actually, I completely agree with what Heather said. Even though we haven't been stationed overseas, we've been stationed all across the country. And I really enjoy the opportunity to explore new places, embrace the communities that we're living in, and give our kids kind of a real world education and learn about all the different places that we're stationed. I didn't move around very much growing up. I pretty much lived in the same place up until I went to college. So this is a very different lifestyle than the one I grew up in. But I think it's been really great getting to experience so many different parts of the country.
Carly, anything else you love? I know there's other things you love.
Like I said earlier, we haven't been that many places, but the opportunities at the few places that we've been to, there's just so many. And I mean, it comes in the form of like meeting different people that I would never, our our lives, our paths would never cross had we not been in the military. The experiences that we get to go to, whether it's like, I mean, if you've never been to a ball, you have no idea, you know, what kind of experience that is. Just the different jobs my husband has had, getting when he was doing a basic training command, getting to watch like the basic training graduations and meet those families and be a part of that, and like having tears and I don't even know anybody who's graduating. It's like just those kind of opportunities are really cool to me, and that's what I like the most about it.
My husband likes to tease me because I still love all the pomp and circumstance. Like, it never gets old to me. I love going to changes of command. I love putting my hand over my heart during the Star Spangled Banner. I love getting to go to, you know, welcome home ceremonies, even if my husband isn't the one coming home. You know, all of those military traditions that we have, you know, I don't take any of them for granted. And I will be sad, you know, whenever the time comes for my husband to retire, because I know that's one of the things that I'll miss the most.
Yeah, for sure. And I think this is the first time we've lived on post since Leavenworth, but we live really close to the flag and to the headquarters here. And so you can hear every morning the cannon go off, you know, everybody stops. And I'm usually on my morning walk and when that happens, and I got to stop. And it's great. I love that part too, for sure. Those are our favorite things. But what have been some challenges? Carly, I know besides working with me, I know that's a big challenge, but what have been some challenges for you?
I think like, you can say that they're challenges, but the longer that you're in the Army, it's almost like things that you get used to. I would say like a PCS, I don't care how long you've been in the Army, like that's not easy. And it's different than anybody else who's moving. Like they just will never understand like what we go through and the amount of things like the pictures we take, the reports we file, like stalking the mover around the house, making sure they're not going to bring anything. I know that that is not the way it is for anybody but us. And so that's like one of probably the biggest challenges. But it's like in a time though that of excitement too. You know, you're PCSing and all this is happening. But to me, like, that's exciting and I like it.
Yeah, and to go off that, like, I've never done a state-to-state move. Every single one of my moves has been from to Korea or back, because we've done actually two assignments to Korea. And so those are, I think, really difficult. Like, I have no say. People just show up. I don't get to choose. I don't get any say in anything, especially when they're in Korea, they don't speak any English. So you have to make signs in Korean that say like, don't take this. And you have to be really specific, and they don't write anything down. Or if they do, like it's not necessarily in English. And this last move was really difficult. When we finally got our storage stuff from Leavenworth, that was months late. There was so much damage. They had to take a break because I was crying in the driveway.
Oh, man.
And they had the audacity to say that it's broken because I shipped it in a weakened state because it was old. Because it's a very nice table that my parents had given to me that had never been broken, but it was, and that's just, and I had receipts for it, but it is what it is, and it's gone and it's done, but thousands of dollars of damage done. And that's why Dan spent days making me a new table.
But you got your husband to make you a new table. That's pretty cool.
Because that's what we could afford with the money they gave.
Yeah, PCS challenges are, I know that we had another episode where we talked about PCS challenges, and those are definitely, I mean, all of us have stories about that for sure. And yeah, PCSing is a huge challenge for those of us in the Army. Did you have something else though, Heather, that was on your mind as a challenge?
I've had challenges dealing with other spouses, like we were talking about, like in Leavenworth and stuff like that. I think that when you get to certain bases and you get compared to one another, it's easy to try and look for reasons to like look for comparisons. And like you mentioned, when you brought me up, when you were introducing us before, you said that I was one of the younger spouses, and I've had conflicts with people, and that's not one of my favorite things as a military spouse, is that people will bring that like, oh, you didn't go to captain's course with your husband, so you don't know what you're talking about. Or you haven't been around for this long, your opinion or your thoughts aren't valid in this situation. And I've actually encountered that several times in just being a spouse to Dan and running an FRG. No one else wants to be the leader, so I'll do it. But then those are issues that aren't my favorite thing about being a military spouse.
And it's that you say that, though, because I feel like that happens at, like, all stages of people in the military. Because they're, like, at this point, people have, like, gotten divorced and remarried, and sometimes your husband may already be a lieutenant colonel, whatever, and you're coming in. And so they face those same things that you and I might be like, oh yeah, we're younger, but you know, we've experienced this too. So it's just interesting that, like, to see it hit other people.
I find it very funny because it's like, that shouldn't matter. We're all here at the same goal, to help and to volunteer, to bring whatever situation, whatever organization that make it better. And it shouldn't matter if I was there at Captain's Course or if I was around. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those are just some of my non-favorite parts of being in the military.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of people think that all, and I have to blame the show Army Wives. We've brought this up before. The show Army Wives always made them seem like they were always getting along and they were always making each other's lives better. And sometimes we don't get along with everybody, you know, not everybody is our favorite military spouses. So I get what you're saying, and I think you did a great job.
And it's kind of two ways of thinking. It's like two mentalities. Like, there's people who are like, that's old Army ways, this is new Army ways. And I think, I like to think we're moving in the right direction, though.
Yeah, I think we are. Jenny, what about you? You've been at this a while. What challenges have you had?
I think one of the most difficult aspects of the military life for me has been unpredictable work schedule. You know, obviously our soldiers have very demanding jobs, and with that comes a lot of unpredictability. So I know I really had a hard time with it close to the beginning of our marriage, especially when we had young children, you know, and I was bearing most of the burden of raising the kids, doing the housework, trying to take care of everything as best I could, not knowing when my husband was going to come home again. And, you know, especially field time is really hard because I feel like there's no predictability to that schedule. And so, you know, he might be gone for 3 days and then he comes home one night for dinner, and then he goes back out for 4 days, and then he comes in for a week, and then he goes back, you know, and it's in and out, in and out, in and out. And that's really hard, you know, because you kind of learn to adjust your life when he's home and then when he's gone. And so, you know, I have a mode for when I'm solo parenting and I have a mode for when he's home, and the constantly having to flip back and forth can be challenging at times. And I always laugh because whenever, you know, we're in one of those field situations and he's in and out so much, the last question I always ask him is, when am I going to see you again? And sometimes he can tell me and sometimes he can't tell me. And I've gotten a lot better at, you know, being much more flexible with the unpredictability. But it was really, really hard those first few years, and when we had young children. And thankfully, it's gotten easier. Not that his schedule has changed at all, but I've just gotten better at adapting and being a lot more fluid given his timelines.
Well, and I know your kids too. And I know that the older they've gotten, the more they've been able to help out, the more they've stepped up to do a lot of that stuff too. I think that Carly and Heather have younger kids, but they're starting to step up too. Gavin, I know, with Carly especially, he tries to do what he can. He's 7 now, and he's, you know, he's doing good with his little sisters.
But I can relate to that on such a deep level, though. It's almost like it's just easier if you know they're going to be gone, like just be gone. Or when they come home, you're like, oh, we don't really do it that way, you know. And then you have these other arguments, like, we were in the groove of doing it this way, now you're messing it up. Or even worse, it's like, dad hasn't been home, so now dad's home. So we just throw, like, everything we've just worked at for like a month of, like, training to go to sleep and doing this, and dad's home, so it's fun time. So I can relate to that on so many levels.
Yeah, I remember when we were stationed at Fort Riley and he was working such long hours, I'd be getting ready to, you know, start bath time and bedtime, but I would text him and I'd say, hey, are you even close to coming home? Because right. If you are, I'll keep the kids awake longer so they can see you and you can see them. But, you know, I swear it never failed. Half the time I would do the whole bedtime routine, and just as I was about to tuck them into bed, he'd come home from work, and then everyone would get riled up again because they were so excited to see him, you know. And so it's really hard having a set routine, especially when the kids are younger, when you don't know when your husband's going to be coming home.
Heather, how have the boys adapted to coming from Korea back to the States?
This has been a really, really rough transition. A lot of things happened that we didn't anticipate. So we came to Korea last June, so like exactly almost a year, and we get to MacDill, and almost immediately they sent him away for 3 months to Virginia. And they told him that probably wasn't going to happen. It wouldn't happen for several months. He needed to do a training, but then we get a phone call while he was still on leave that he needed to come off leave, of course, and he needed to leave to Virginia. So he just got in his car and drove away for 3 months. And then he came back and everything was great. And then right after Christmas, he came on deployment orders. So then he left. And then COVID-19 happened. We were so grateful that he was able to come home. I didn't tell the kids because then we were told he might get stuck, but he came home. But it's been one thing after another. And in between that, we moved houses. So they switched schools. And so it hasn't been a good transition for them. They've been really resilient, like most military kids. They've had more transitions than I think even a lot of military kids just this year. So I'm hoping that we won't have much, but they're good.
Good. No, I know they're resilient and they're great kids too. I only know two of them personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they would have been okay if we didn't hit a pandemic, but.
Yeah. But dad got to come home. So that's something.
That's been big. That's been big.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, those challenges, especially, I don't know about the kids ones, obviously. I kind of lived through you guys with all of the kids things, but definitely there are a lot of different challenges to the military and those are all, yeah. I want to talk about expectations. I've kind of talked about that. Expectations has kind of been the question I've asked everybody. I don't know why I ask it. I just think that sometimes people have these expectations of what our lives are like. And so I was wondering, Jenny, I'm going to go to you first. Were there any expectations when you joined the military? And then were those expectations either met or not met?
So it's really funny that you bring this question up because this is one of my favorite little stories to share. When Justin and I were dating and we knew we were going to get married, I remember meeting his parents for the first time. And my future mother-in-law asked me how I felt about Justin joining the military because he was already on that path, you know, well before I entered the picture. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm totally fine with it. You know, my dad grew up as an Army brat. Two of his brothers went to West Point. One went to the Coast Guard Academy. So I totally thought I knew what the whole military life was going to be like. I didn't have a clue, you know, and I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but I quickly realized early on that it was nothing that I had ever anticipated, you know, kind of going back to that unpredictable work schedule that I mentioned earlier. Even when he had a predictable work schedule, I didn't realize what a blessing it was. You know, he was doing recruiting and he would get off work at 5 o'clock. And so he would be home by like 5:15 every day. And one day we had been married like a month. He came home at 5:30 and I lost my mind. I was like, why are you home from work so late? I don't understand. You were supposed to be home at 5:15, you know, and quickly realized that wasn't really a good attitude to have. And the expectation management has been crucial. I pretty much just set my expectations really, really, really low because I know that if I do that, I'll be less likely to be disappointed. But, you know, whatever I thought this crazy ride was going to be going into it, it's definitely not been anything that I expected.
Heather, how about you? What expectations did you have?
Like I said earlier, like, I never anticipated being a military spouse. I met Dan. He was a cadre for ROTC at James Madison University in Virginia. And I was actually a graduating senior. And we met online. And I was not an ROTC student, so it was totally fine. We met and we started dating, and when you're an ROTC cadre, you have like Thanksgiving break and you have Christmas break and you don't work. You just hop in the office and make sure there's nothing going on. So I saw him all the time. He would drive me to work and he'd pick me up at 3, and I know he never worked. And we got married and he never planned on continuing. This is his last assignment. We got married. I'm 5 months pregnant. He's going to hiring conferences. He takes ETS leave. We take a Space A flight to Europe. We do our whole honeymoon. We come back and the government's about to shut down. And so we're just sitting in a car and I'm pregnant and he looks at me and I will never forget what he says. He says, you know, I wanted to get out of the military because I wanted a wife and kids. And look at you, my wife, pregnant with my kid. I think I'm going to stay in. And so he calls branch the next day and they tell him, you can go to Korea or you can get out. And he was gone 3 days later.
Wow.
And so I did my whole pregnancy alone. He came home for 10 days when the baby was born. And then a couple months later, I do a whole PCS completely by myself. The last conversation I had with him was, I don't understand what you have to do. And then I saw him in Korea.
no military spouse has the right to tell you you are wrong about anything if you did all that by yourself. So you really didn't have time to build up any expectations.
By the time he was joined and by the time I was in Korea, it was like 10 months and I had a baby in between.
How many times did you think, what have I done?
A lot of times. But when I joined him, my plan was to join the Peace Corps and I had like all these plans. I love my life and I love everything that it's done for us. But when you think about where we are to where our plans were, this is just incredible. Like we're in Tampa and I have three kids and I can't be more blessed for everything, but I did not have any of these expectations. I'm just winging it, man. That's all it is.
Carly, you and I talked a little bit about this earlier today. What expectations did you have? And have they been met? Have they not?
I just think it's funny because we all have these stories. It's so like, we're all so different, but we're also the same because I met Mark when we were in college and I knew that he was going to go and like, he didn't want to start something serious because he was going to go to the military, but we started something serious, of course, you know, all that stuff. And his commissioning date came and they said like, oh, you're not going to go till, you know, December. Well, then of course they moved it up right away to October. I mean, like from the very beginning of like our whole story, it's been nothing but like, oh, this is how it's going to go. Nope, sorry, we're going to change it. So it's like an ongoing joke. So then we get to Fort Sill. We're there for like 4 months, newlyweds, finally have our first apartment together, and he's deploying like immediately. And I'm thinking like, here I am like 12 hours from home. I'm not going to stay in Oklahoma by myself. I don't know anybody. Like, am I supposed to move back home with my parents? Like, yep, back home into my bedroom where I just left, like 23 years old. So it's just so funny. Like, so I think my expectations, I don't even know if I ever even got to set them really high before they got brought down. And then it's been like that ever since. Like, we'd get told like, oh, you're going to Leavenworth. Okay, so we'll drive out to Leavenworth. We check out the houses. We're so excited. I even like put the lease in. You're not going to Leavenworth. He literally stepped out for a phone call with his branch manager and came in to tell me, I'm deploying. I'm going to Qatar. And I mean, are you kidding me? Like, we're supposed to be moving. So it has been all of that every single time. So like Jenny said, I think my expectations now are like so low that I actually get excited. I was excited to find out we're coming to Fort Knox. Like, I'm excited. So anyway, it's comical, it's funny, but that's the life we're on. And now it's in my blood and you live on the edge. Like, I'm ready to go. You never know what to expect. You never know what you're going to get. And now I'm like, it gets me excited. Like, what's next? Because you really don't know.
Yeah. Did you guys have any expectations about what it was to be an Army wife? Did you have somebody you knew that was telling you, oh, you're going to have to do this and you're going to have to do this or anything like that? Did you have any expectations of what your role was going to be or how you were going to have to almost act or anything like that?
I watched Army Wives.
Exactly. I was just going to say, you set us up, Steve. Yeah. Army Wives came out when Mark had that deployment. He left and Army Wives, the whole thing started at the same time. So I sat in my parents' house and I watched Army Wives. And I was like, this is my life. Like, no.
Nope. When we first got married, my father-in-law gave me as a wedding present the Military Wife Handbook. And I read that thing cover to cover. And at the time, Justin was TDY. So I wasn't going to unit functions or anything like that. I was actually still in college. I thought, okay, I've read this thing. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. And we get to his first unit and I have no idea what I'm doing. You know, I get invited to my first coffee. And I had to call someone and ask them what I was supposed to wear and what I was supposed to expect because I really didn't know. And I remember making a lot of mistakes those first few years, doing what I thought was the right thing, and then realizing later that the expectation was a little bit different. I went to my first FRG meeting, and I didn't even live there. I was still in college, but I went to be supportive, and the FRG leader handed me the binder and said, here you go, you're the new FRG leader. And I was like, I don't even know what FRG stands for. I don't even live here full time. And thankfully, you know, there was a more seasoned spouse who sat down with me one day and went over everything with me because I didn't even know that all these FRG training classes existed. So I really feel like a lot of what I learned came from making a lot of mistakes along the way. And it was painful, but I really try now, you know, to do my best to make sure that any spouses I encounter know exactly to expect, you know, at every event they go to, what's going to happen, what they should wear, that kind of thing, because I don't ever want anyone else to be in that same boat that I was in as a new spouse.
I definitely understand what you're saying there. When in Korea, I get there and I all of a sudden become the FRG leader. I don't even know what FRG, I don't even know what DFAC stands for. I know no one that came from the military. So I just show up off a 16-hour flight with a newborn and it's like, here's everything. Oh, we don't even have a binder, so you have to create an FRG.
It's the family readiness group for anybody who doesn't know what that is. FRG is the family readiness group. People can tell stories about family readiness groups. We're not going to tonight.
I don't have, they're like blacked out. It's fine.
I know, the saddest thing about like the whole FRG thing is I think another expectation is I'm used to being like a people person. Everyone's going to like me. It's going to be fun. I'm so, you know, like, it'll be great. Nobody likes you. Like they find out, like, first of all, you walk into this FRG and yeah, I'm new. I don't know anything. And I'm supposed to be your leader. Like that doesn't set me up for success, you know? So I learned right away that to reach out to those seasoned spouse, to reach out to, I don't care if you're enlisted, I don't care if you're an officer's wife, like if you want to be friends, if we're going to help each other. And that has been the best thing I've ever done. No one needs to know what my husband does. They need to know what I'm here to do. And that has helped me to make the friends and to be able to be social and not put that persona that I'm anybody of importance, because I'm not.
Exactly. And when you do reach out, by the end of it, I did make some really good friends. And I feel like we did really make some good progress and helped, you know, the people we needed to help. But the beginning, though, it was scary. It's scary when you don't know what you're doing and you don't know who to look for help.
Carly, you brought up an interesting that it doesn't matter whether you're an enlisted spouse or a officer spouse or what, you know, the rank structure of our soldiers doesn't matter when it comes to the spouses. But I remember when I was a young soldier that, and I wasn't really young when I was a soldier, but when I was a new soldier, thinking that like lieutenant colonel's wives and major's wives and general officer's wives, and they were like really important and that I needed to be on my P's and Q's when I were in front of them. And that kind of translated when I got out of the Army too. And you know, now that I'm a little older and more seasoned, and like Jenny's a regular person. She's a lieutenant colonel's wife, but she's like a regular person who is fun to be around. And she is very important and very special, but she's also easy to, did you guys have some of that experience when you were new?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember being, you know, the brand new second lieutenant's wife and looking at the battalion commander's wife and thinking, oh, she's so old. She's so wise. She's so experienced. She knows exactly what to do. And now here I am. I'm that lieutenant colonel's wife, but I don't know that I'm any of those things that I, you know, used to think of to the senior spouse that I was that. I don't know. I do think it's important, though. And what I didn't realize when I was a new spouse was that the senior spouses are just people, too. I mean, really, they are. We have the same struggles. You know, we miss our husbands when we're gone, when they're gone. We struggle with raising kids alone. We have some of the same difficulties as they do, regardless of where we fall on the spectrum. And I do think that that's something that kind of gets lost in the fold, is that, you know, we're all in this life together and we have so many of the same struggles that sometimes people just don't realize it.
I won't lie that I still have that initial reaction that I'm like, there's like, oh my goodness. But in getting older and getting more comfortable in speaking and realizing that we're all people, is that I can recognize that we go through the same struggles, but also look at them as mentors. And when I do have issues, I'm more comfortable at going to them and asking, like, can I please have help? Or just the first time I went to a ball and I didn't know what I was doing. Should I stand? Should I sit? Should, like, what is she doing? And then I'll just follow suit. And so now it's not as panicky to do new situations. And even now it's realizing that in some situations there are new spouses looking at me, and to take that role more seriously and to respect that.
Yeah, you become the mentor after you realize that the younger spouses are now looking at you.
And I think we probably have all met all the different types of spouses that are out there. And I think that you learn from the good and you learn from the bad too, because now Like I think Jenny said earlier, it's like, you know what that felt like. Like I knew what that felt like when I was going to my very first coffee and like, was I supposed to bring a gift? Was I supposed to do this? And then someone told me, if you're not allowed to get there 1 minute early, like that's rude. You know, like just, there's so many funny things. And so now it's like, if there's someone new, like I'm going to call them and say, hey, ride with me. Let's go together. And I think that's the best thing you can do as a military spouse is like reach out to the new ones because they literally have no idea what's going on and they're scared.
Hey friends, Mr. Army Wife here. Coming up next, Carly, Jenny, and Heather discuss our weekly hot topic. But first, I want to ask you to do me a favor. Subscribe, rate, and review the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast. I'm interested in hearing what you think, and I want others to know we are always looking for new friends to join the family. Your reviews can help them find us. Plus, your comments can let me know how I can do better as a podcast host. Please share the podcast with your friends as well. If you're my friend, I want to be their friend, because any friend of yours is a friend of mine. And now back to the podcast and our weekly hot topic, book nooks and getting involved in our communities.
Ladies, thank you so much for sharing your stories. I do want to get into our article tonight. It's a good one. I really like this idea. I think that a lot of us have been stuck at home now for a few months and we're looking for ways to serve. And I know that the three of you are big into serving your communities and things like that. And so I found an article. It's on military.com. Rebecca Allwine, we've read one of her articles before on the podcast. She wrote this article and it's titled Military Spouses Creates Community Through Book Nooks. I love this idea. I saw it. I think the first time I ever saw a book nook was on the show Last Man Standing, where the wife put a book nook or a lending library in her front yard in order to meet people. And so I didn't know this, but it kind of is a thing around different communities. And so a spouse named Lindsay Custer actually did one at Fort Polk. She got in touch with the newspaper who had the old newspaper machines sitting on their dock in the back. They weren't being used anymore because nobody goes to a newspaper machine and pulls out a newspaper anymore, I guess. And she painted it. She put books in it, put it in her neighborhood, got approval from her housing people, and she had her book nook. It's a way for her to kind of give back and share her love of reading with other people. What do you think about the article? What did you think about what she did? You know, what are your thoughts on the book nook?
I thought it was super cute. Obviously, I think that with the times right now, I've seen so many really cool, creative ways that people are trying to bring the community together. Over in our neighborhood, we have a lot of like the big tough boxes or the big plastic bins, and there'll be like shared games, shared books. There's like a puzzle swap going on. And it's just not surprising that a military spouse would start something like that. And I'm surprised that it hasn't already started. It's, you know, it just seems like it fits our communities really well.
Yeah, and we live in different neighborhoods on Fort Knox. But then an hour after I sent you this article, right, there was a girl who posted in one of the other neighborhoods that she had done one.
Yeah.
And there is a book nook on Fort Knox in a completely different neighborhood, which I thought was kind of funny.
I think it just really illustrates that entrepreneurial spirit that so many military spouses have. You know, like they come up with a good idea and they're not afraid to take the bull by the horns and see it through. I see that a lot here at Fort Irwin because we are so isolated and we don't have a community, you know, immediately outside the gates to turn to, that everyone here looks inward, you know, and there's so many spouses here that have come up with amazing ideas on ways to help the community. Whether it's serving lunches. I have a friend here who recently started a breastfeeding support group for the moms here that need it. And I think it's just really indicative of so many military spouses who see something and aren't afraid to implement it and put it into action in order to help their community.
Exactly. It just shows how military spouses, you know, there's always that conversation that military spouses don't necessarily work, but they work so much for their community. They're so intelligent. So many of them have higher education and they're just looking for a place to put it towards. They help their community so much and just something simple like that, but it takes so many steps to kind of get it done. And I have never met a military spouse that when they have something like an idea like that, they never back down. They're going to accomplish it.
Yeah, I think that is one of those things that we've seen, not just with COVID or during the coronavirus times, but almost during any times where military spouses are kind of just trying to figure out ways to either lift people's spirits or do whatever they can. I know that on post here, there was a, all of a sudden at my doorstep, there was like a bottle of wine. And it was the first time it ever happened was at Leavenworth for me, where I was booed for Halloween. I was booed. Like, you know, that was just an experiment that somebody just decided to do that one time. And it just kind of took off and spread. Heather, were you the one that booed me? I still to this day, I don't know who did it.
I don't know. I boo people every year. We also started doing the 12 days of Christmas where we give 12 presents for Christmas. We pick a family.
Oh, wow. Steve, that's awesome.
Steve egg people, or however, what'd you call that?
Egg
people. That sounds bad. What was it called when you dropped off Easter basket?
Oh, it was
we quarantined people.
Oh, not even close. Okay.
Yeah,
but it was around Easter.
It was. That was the only reason they were Easter baskets, because it was around
all
Easter,
right.
So they were readily
that was
available.
Cute. That was cute.
But yeah, they were
quarantined.
But
I remember too, baskets. I mean, Steve, when we were at Fort Stewart, you know, Diana, you know, one of my friends on the street had a baby. So Steve brought her a meal and he said, well, I'll be in y'all's neck of the woods. And he dropped off meals to several others of us as well. You know, and I opened my door and there was a nice hot meal ready for my family. And that's one of the things I love about the military community is that no one's afraid to lend a helping hand when it's needed or when it's not. I didn't
into a stranger.
Nice, but it's really nice. Right.
That's what's really amazing about it. It's like you know, people who don't even know each other reach out to help. And I think that that's a special thing in the military, because we've lived off post. It's not the same. We do have something special here.
Absolutely. I don't know what I would do without, like, you know, when you move into a new place. You know, like I said, I was like 5 months pregnant when I moved to Leavenworth, and people are moving in, moving out. And I had my baby. I didn't know anyone. And do you remember Lisa Jacks?
I do.
She came in and she brought us the most amazing meal, just like knocked on the door and brought us a meal because I had the baby. That was the first time that's ever happened to me. And that will forever be one of my most favorite memories of just a military spouse knocking on the door with a meal.
Ladies, do you think it helps not just the morale of the people that are using the service, but do you think it helps our morale when we do that kind of stuff and helps us kind of keep busy, especially if we are not working? I don't have a job, kind of been a house husband. I've done odd jobs. So I know that stuff like that kind of keeps me busy, keeps me, you know, engaged in the community and
job.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Like Mark will joke with me. He's like, you work like two jobs, like you work 48-hour work weeks and you make no money. For me, though, it makes me feel like I'm accomplishing something. And if it's something for somebody or something like an organization, then I feel like, you know, I'm doing something. I'm not just sitting back and letting time go by.
No, I agree. I mean, that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about my two favorite duty stations were the two places where I saw my husband the least, simply because I had a community to embrace and that also embraced me. And we became family. And they were the ones that helped me when times were tough. We were the ones that went shopping together, you know, because our husbands were in the field training and we were lonely. And we were the ones that did, you know, dinner together on the weekends because our husbands were deployed. I mean, I think the support that you get from a military community is unlike any other. I remember talking to one of my husband's cousins over the summer when we were PCSing here. And she said, yeah, I don't think I know any of my neighbors. And I don't have any friends who know their neighbors either. And it just shocked me that people live in communities like that, because I couldn't imagine living somewhere where I wasn't close to my neighbors.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, between Leavenworth and Korea, the giving back and being on the Spouses Club and working at the CrossFit program, just making those relationships with those people and know I was just giving back to the community and that sense of fulfillment. I mean, I wasn't working for money, so it wasn't a job. I was giving multiple hours a day and I was putting my time into these people. And it was something that I very thoroughly enjoyed. And I had great experiences and I made great relationships. That's what I think makes all of this worth it.
And your kids are getting to watch you do that. And I think that's really important too. Like my kids, like that's just secondhand nature. We're getting in the car. We're going to go drop off this food. Like, you know, oh, we're going to go. We're going to give flowers to somebody because she works so hard and she helps so much. And my kids just get to see that. And I like that that's the way they're growing up.
One of the best pieces of advice I was ever given was, you know, people won't always remember what you said, that they'll remember how you made them feel. And I think it's so true. Like people won't remember necessarily what I say at a meeting or in passing at the commissary, but they'll remember that I brought them a meal when they were sick or that I took their kids because they had something that they needed to take care of, you know? And I think that's really indicative of, you know, the whole military spouse mindset is that we're all there for each other. We create a village and, you know, we really do become family.
So in the article, one of the quotes that stood out to me from Lindsay Custer was, "Sometimes we feel so temporary that we don't feel like we can do it." And I kind of resonate with that. Like sometimes we feel like this is all going to go away when our spouse leaves. And so why get involved? Why try and do something that might not carry on? I think, like, have you ever had those feelings where you're like, why am I doing this? It's not going to matter because it could just all go away.
I feel like we only have a finite amount of time in each location. You know, we only have a certain amount of time to make friends, and because inevitably one of us is going to move in a year or two. And it's the same thing with where you volunteer and how you give back. You know, you're only going to be there for a short time. So you dive in, you take the bull by the horns, and you do as much as you can with the little bit of time that you have, because you know that, you know, once your spouse gets orders again, it's going to be time to move. And like Heather just said, you hope that you leave a place better than where you found it.
And I think that's what makes military spouses so special, because the last place that we lived and the place we live now, while we are close to a base, we're not surrounded by military spouses or military families. So we're having a hard time making friends and getting friends for the kids besides all the COVID-19. No one has the same necessary like rush that we do. Like, you know, we're only going to be here for a certain amount of time. Be our friend. Hey. Whereas when you're on post or you're surrounded by military families, everyone's like, all right, how long have you been here? Where are you going next? You want to do dinner? And everyone's on like kind of like not a fast forward kind of motion, but let's see if we bond and let's bond and let's kind of like see where this goes. And I think that's what makes spouses really special, because when they decide that they're going to give back to the community or do something, there's no hesitation. They're just going to do it.
I think that we're unique in that way too, just like what you're saying, because when we do move out into the real world, I think will be a lot for some people. People aren't used to getting, here's your brownies because you just moved in the neighborhood. Here, let me help you. You want me to watch your baby? Like I don't even know you. Like, to like the real world out there, we can be a lot. But to us, that's like what, you know, makes us so warm-hearted and, you know, kind and generous. It's just, it's like in our blood.
We're going to ask our neighbors that move into us if we need to be their emergency contact for their kids.
Right. Hey, can
like
I put
2 days
down
after meeting?
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true.
The article ends with the author basically saying, but we can and we should, just like she did. Lindsay Custer started that book nook. Carly, I know you want to start a book nook. What are some other things that you guys think that everybody could use their talents? What are some other things that you think or have seen people start that could benefit communities?
I know that they have like community garden plots here, but like more than ever, like why wouldn't we develop some type of like community garden, like something bigger where everybody can come and get their food and share and swap and whatever? Because I know that one of the neighborhood pages is like blowing up right now for some co-op, but you have to pay however much money, you get so much produce. And I'm thinking like, why would we do that when we have our own community right here? So that could be something.
I know one of the hardest things to create, and we had trouble with this at the several posts that I belong to, is creating a co-op for childcare. One of the things that's most needed, you know, especially when like parents want to go to the gym just for an hour, but to rotate that, because getting, you know, a CDC worker to work, to watch the kids and hourly care, but to create that co-op, it takes the involvement of everyone and everyone to be on the same page. But I think that's one of the things that you need a spouse to spearhead it and to be in charge, but it takes an immense amount of like focus and dedication to do that. I know that at Leavenworth, the CrossFit group, they had one going for a while. And it was amazing to watch that flourish and that be, but it was an amazing program and an amazing little sector of women who just kept that going.
Yeah, Jenny, I think the creativity is great that some of these spouses have shown in what they're creating and what they've created.
For sure. Yeah, I was going to say, when we were at Port Stewart, I was really fortunate. You know, one of my neighbors started a CrossFit group for a neighborhood, and it was amazing. And I was there at, you know, 5:45 every morning. or my neighborhood started a crafting club. And I learned that crafting is one of my outlets. That's one of the ways that I decompress and kind of calm my mind down a little bit. But I think it's really important that military spouses have an identity of their own that's separate from being a military spouse or separate from being a parent. You know, you have to have things that are just for you. That's not tied to, you know, your unit or, you know, meetings that you have to go to. Find that outlet that is just something that you derive pure joy from, whether it's working out or crafting or a book club or just anything that brings you joy and happiness to do. I feel like sometimes, especially as women, we kind of just get so caught up in being moms and trying to help everybody and do everything for other people that sometimes we forget to take care of ourselves. So I think it's really important that we're all able to find ways to do things that bring us happiness, because it really helps, you know, with this crazy army life that we live, to have, you know, an outlet to turn to when you need it.
No, I was saying, absolutely, I completely agree with that. I think specifically with this kind of lifestyle, with what you mentioned, like solo parenting, where you don't know what you're doing or when it's happening or how it turns on, and all you're doing is giving yourself to your kids and to your husband's work. You know, that old saying, you know, don't light yourself on fire to keep others warm. You don't even know that you're doing it. You know, it's not selfish to have self-care. You have to have that time. And if you take care of yourself, you can actually take care of others more.
Hey friends, it's Mr. Army Wife again, and I want to add a new element to the podcast. This is an interactive element, so I need to hear from you. Each week after we discuss the hot topic, I'm going to ask a question. This week, it's easy. How do you get involved in your community and make it a better place to live? I can't wait to hear all of your answers and get ideas on more ways I can get involved. Email me at MrArmyWife@gmail.com or join our community on Facebook by searching for Mr. Army Wife and Friends. Thanks.
Well, now we're going to move on to the section that I love, and that is where we get to describe military spouses according to adjectives that start with a certain letter. You guys are episode 5, which means you are the E episode, Echo episode. I've started using the Army alphabet now, military alphabet, because that makes sense to me. I don't know why. Somebody said, why aren't you using that? And I'm like, yeah, duh, I should be using that. So the echo words is what we're going for today. Heather, I want to start with you. What is your E echo word to describe military spouses?
So I think I said a lot of empowered. There are a lot of things, like I discussed earlier, I didn't realize I was going to be a military spouse. And I always thought that, you know, marriage is going to be a complete 50-50%, you know, like he was going to be here and we were going to parent together and that's what everything's going to be. And when that's not always the case, I found myself finding myself and having to rely on myself to make decisions I never thought that I was going to have to do. And I think a lot of military spouses have had to come to those conclusions. And just in other things, when I was at Leavenworth, my wash machine blew out and I had to take the whole panel off and figure out how to fix the wash machine because it was broken. I think a lot of military spouses have been in those kind of situations where you don't necessarily have anyone else to call and you have to fix whatever problems in front of you. And you have to do it right now. And you have to find that within yourself and you have to make those decisions. And then you've got to catch your spouse up behind you. Like, that's just what it is.
How much pride did you feel when you fixed the washing machine though?
Very proud. I went and actually got it quoted and they wanted $400 to fix it. And I found the piece for $16 online. And so I fixed it myself.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that definitely helps to empower spouses. And I will encourage any spouse, if you have something that breaks like that, go to YouTube and look and see how to fix it, because there is almost always a video that will show you how to do it yourself. And parts are way cheaper than labor.
That's exactly what I did. I watched a YouTube video and just like followed it along.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely can see how that would empower you in all sorts of ways, not just in home repair. Jenny, how about you? What's your word for us this week?
My word is energetic. You know, after doing this lifestyle for 18 years and spending much of it apart from my husband, you know, I've had to find the energy to do a lot of these things myself. Just like Heather said, you don't always have someone to turn to when you need help with something. And so, you know, I'm constantly having to find the energy to, you know, parent the kids, volunteer, do all the things that I want to do. And I'm always amazed by the passion that I see other military spouses bring to the table, you know, volunteering, setting things up, doing good in the community. And it's just impressive to see how much energy we all have and how much energy we put into helping our community and those around us. You know, when I was thinking about my word and I looked up other words that are associated with energetic, some of the words that came up were dynamic, spirited, strong, enterprising, tireless. And I think those characteristics embody almost every single military spouse that I've met. And so for me, my word is energetic.
Carly, how about you? What is your E word for today?
I had switched my word up once I realized it needed to be an adjective. So my new word is exceptional. And I think I've said the word special like however many times. And that is basically what exceptional is. Military spouses are special people. Like everything that you're putting into this podcast, all of these words, I mean, they all go into one exceptional, embody one exceptional person. And I think that is exactly what we are. And it's funny because this whole time I've been thinking, how many times has it came up about all the different stuff with the COVID and the pandemic and all of the stuff, and everyone's lives are turned upside down. And I honestly feel like us as military spouses, it's just life. Like, I mean, really, we've been training for this since the day we married a soldier. So we're exceptional people.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that the great thing about it is that we're all exceptional, but we're all exceptional in our own ways.
And look at us. We're all so happy.
We are. Yeah, definitely. Everybody is exceptional. I've got a word as well. I like to come up with a word, and my word is encouraging. I think that military spouses are definitely very encouraging toward one another. We try and be encouraging. I know that I wouldn't be part of the Spouses Club or even be doing this podcast if it wasn't for other spouses that encouraged me to get involved and, you know, to be who I am. I think that is sometimes I'm a lot for some people, but I know that the three of you especially have encouraged me to just be who I am, to do my thing. And if people get it, they get it. If they don't, okay. You know, we are not going to please 100% of the people 100% of the time. And so I love that you guys especially have been encouraging, but 99% of military spouses are encouraging toward one another because they know that we are all going through all of this together, that we are all going through the hard times and that we are just trying to navigate what is a crazy life. So thanks for being encouraging.
Thanks for being you.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, I've got one more thing for you guys to do. This is the surprise element of it. What is the best piece of advice, or what advice would you give to a brand new spouse? Just one or two sentences. Just tell me, what piece of advice would you give to a brand new spouse that you know would make a difference for them? And Jenny, I'll start with you.
Mine would be to not be afraid to ask questions if you don't understand something. So kind of like we said before, if there's an event going on and you don't know what to wear, you don't know what to expect, you don't know what's going to happen, don't be afraid to reach out to a trusted friend or a senior spouse to ask them, because you'll feel so much more comfortable leading up to the event if you know what to expect.
Get involved in something. It doesn't have to be the Spouses Club. It can be CrossFit. It can be a mommy group that you found on posts or whatever. But just, there's so many ways to get involved now, and with all the Facebook groups and everything. But get involved. Put yourself out there. That way that's the best way to meet people, I would say.
Just be true to who you are and just be authentic. You don't need to change who you are to fit any mold of a military spouse. You just need to be true with who you are, and you'll make friends that fits that.
Well, ladies, I want to thank you all for being part of the podcast, and definitely you guys are special military spouses. You are energetic, empowered, exceptional, and encouraging, and that's really all that any of us can ask for.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast. A big thanks to Carly, Jenny, and Heather for joining me. If you enjoyed the episode, please let us know. Email MrArmyWife@gmail.com. And don't forget to tell us your answer to our question of the week. Join us for the next episode of Mr. Army Wife and Friends when I introduce you to more of the great military spouses I've met throughout the years. I want to thank Heather, my dear soldier, for making all of this possible. My name's Steve. I'm Mr. Army Wife, reminding all of you to be the change you hope to see in the world.